Father, give us words from your heart. Clear definition, Lord. Give us clear definition. And teach us your ways, God. We love your word. We love your truth. And teach us your ways, Lord. In Jesus' name. Turn with me, please, to Genesis chapter 3. And this is where we started on Friday. And we talked about the first part of this, so I'm not going to really repeat it. I'm going to read it again, but I'm not going to really repeat the same things we said. I do encourage you, once it's up on the internet, download the message and listen to it several times, like 50 or 100. Really, 10 times you get 10%. Right? You just keep listening until you get it. After a while, it'll become repetitive, and then it'll become life. Yeah, so keep listening to you. You read it. In verse 1, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, it always starts with that question, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. And the serpent said unto the woman, you shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of both of them were opened. And the eyes of both of them were opened. And they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together, and made themselves aprons. There are several aspects of warfare strategies that the enemy uses in this passage. The first one I'm not going to go into, except to mention it, is to raise a question so that there will be some insecurity regarding the promises of God, regarding the Word of God, regarding the integrity of God. And that insecurity then removes the shield, ultimately. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. Now, this is what happens when that question is raised to the believer who has actually received doctrine as Eve had, received clear definition, has it as part of her frame of reference, but is now fellowshipping with the wrong thoughts. She has opened up herself to the wrong system of thinking. What she should have done is say, the Lord rebuke you, just as soon as he started talking. But she didn't. But there was a reason why she didn't, because she had a lust pattern. Every human being since the fall had a lust pattern. She had a lust pattern, although it wasn't operating the same way that our lust patterns operate because we are in a fallen state. She craved knowledge. Every major scholar agrees with this. She craved knowledge. So did Adam. Their thing was knowing. Becoming intellectual. Their thing was knowing. A lot of believers are like this. Their thing is knowing apart from life. She had life, but she craved knowledge. So when she was approached by the enemy, because she did have a frame of reference still that was rooted in the truth of the Word of God, she got defensive. And this is the number two strategy of the enemy, is to make them defensive. Make them defensive. And she became a defensive hearer. You never get defensive in the way that you hear. When you hear, you filter it through the grace of God. You don't need to be defensive. You need grace. And when grace is the frame of reference, which it was not for Eve, because grace was not yet given in time, that didn't happen until after the fall. So she had no frame of reference of grace, she just had a frame of reference of definition. And it was her frame of reference, and because the definition was challenged, because she was now listening to the wrong source, receiving thoughts from the wrong place, she got defensive in her hearing. And so she said, we're not just not to eat it, we're not to touch it. Well, God never said you can't touch it, He just said you can't even. And what she did was lose specific doctrine. She started operating outside of the specifics of the Word of God. Not in a law, but in a frame of reference. The specifics of the Word did not become her frame of reference. The specifics of the promises were not in her frame of reference. The specifics of greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. The specifics of do not receive an accusation in 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 19 against an elder. Christ was her elder. She did not receive that specific into her frame of reference, and now she became defensive because she had specifics outside of doctrine. By the way, the Word of God was present in Eden. It is forever settled. Just because it hadn't happened yet chronologically doesn't mean it was not the Word of God. Some people see the events of the Bible as being chronologically oriented when they are the eternal truths of the mind of Christ. She did not have specific categories of grace, specific categories of doctrine, specific categories of promises, specific categories of mercy, specific categories of truth. This is why doctrine needs to be taught categorically. Not in general vain fluffiness, but categorically, precisely. And my thinking needs to be precise, not vague. This can only be produced in me through the Holy Spirit applying the Word of God into my heart, to my frame of reference. When you hear things like this, I'm not saying that anybody here is, but on the internet, when you hear things like this, don't react at them, be taught by them. Don't try to spare your flesh, be taught by the Word of God. And the serpent said unto the woman, you shall not surely die. You know what had happened to Eve? Satan had tricked her. And her eating of the fruit of the tree was simply an external manifestation of what she had already done in her heart. See, he had tricked her. As soon as she started evaluating with his thoughts, as soon as she started entertaining his thoughts, she had already eaten the tree in her heart. He was saying, look by sight. Evaluate with your natural reasoning. In the original we brought out Friday, when Satan said, had God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? The original language there suggests that it says, does this make any sense that God would put a tree in the garden and you can't eat it? Does it make any sense? You see, this is the problem that she had. She had already engaged natural thinking initiated by the enemy according to the understanding that was gained by her sight. Look at the trees. Does it make any sense that God would say this? So he had tricked her into eating of the fruit of the tree of knowledge before it became an external expression of what had already taken place in her heart. See, again, the warfare is for the mind, for the frame of reference. For God doth know that in the day that you eat thereof, your eyes shall be open. The eyes there speak of the understanding, the perception. Your understanding will be open. You're going to get more knowledge, Eve. Your eyes are going to be open. And this is how we know that she had already eaten of the tree before she had ever bitten the fruit. And you shall be as gods. And by the way, as gods, there's talking about as angels. That's why it's plural. It's, you shall be as the angels, because they were fellowshipping with an angel. She was talking to a fallen angel. She wanted the wisdom that the angels had. Knowing good and evil. And the woman saw that the tree. And the woman evaluated by sight rather than evaluating by the definition that was given by the Word of God. And she trusted her sight, a trust that was built into her through the initiations of Satan. She trusted her sight over the Word of God. This is what happens to believers. They trust their sight over the Word of God. They trust their sight over the promises of God. They trust their sight over the faithfulness of God. They trust their sight over the character of God. They trust their sight. I can see what they're doing. Really? You've seen their heart. Well, no, but I can see the external. If you can't see their heart, you don't have a clue what they're doing. I can see what's going on. I can see my way through this. Really? How far in the future can you see? Farther than God knows, who knows the beginning from the end can see? Do you really know your circumstances? Let me ask you something, and let's make this very practical and obvious. When are you going to die? I don't know. You know, it could be in the very next second. Yeah, I suppose it could. How far can you see? Do you think that the person who gets killed in a car accident knew they were going to get killed in a car accident the moment before? The millisecond before when they didn't slam on the brakes? Quite quickly enough? How far can you see? Your sight is worthless. Sight, hearing of the ears, seeing of the eyes, is absolutely worthless in my thinking. Your sight evaluations are worthless. There is only one way to evaluate, that is only one way to think. It's the Holy Spirit quickening the Word of God to so that it will become my frame of reference. The premise on which all my evaluations and analyses and thoughts are built. Apart from that, you're not thinking. Nobody can think apart from that. Why? Because only the mind of Christ is a mind. Everything else is a physical brain and chemical and electrical impulses. But an actual living mind that has truth is only the mind of God. Let this mind be in you. And you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And the woman saw that the tree was good for food. Oh, this tree is good for food. I can eat this tree. Do you really believe that the tree of life and the tree of knowledge was there for food? Is that what you think it was? Sustenance. You had a million other trees in the garden for sustenance. Those trees were kingdom trees. With kingdom purpose and kingdom truths. The tree of life was God's tree that He was willing to share with man that imparted eternal life. The tree of knowledge God was not willing to share with man because man is not all-knowing. That was God's tree and God's tree alone. And He put it into the garden because He was in the garden fellowshipping with man. That was His intimacy. That was His intimacy with those He created. So He put His own tree into the garden. It was God's tree. Only God can eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Why? Because only God has all knowledge. Only God is everywhere present. Only God is from the beginning to the end. this is why I can't eat of that tree. It'll kill me. People eat of that tree all the time. They try to analyze with their natural understanding in frames of reference apart from the Word of God, apart from the finished work, apart from the mercy and grace of God. And so they start operating outside of the tree of life, and they start operating by eating of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. That knowledge, where the good and evil is not the problem, knowledge is. Empirical knowledge gained by the senses is what the original language brings out. Empirical knowledge gained by the senses. My senses cannot give me any useful, eternal, empirical knowledge. All my senses can do is tell me there's the door, there's the wall, there's the chair. That's all that does. The rest of it, I need the mind of God. The rest of it, I need God meditations in my mind to illuminate the truths of God to my frame of reference, to my heart, to give me a foundation for thought. Meditating on the Word of God. And the woman saw the tree was good for food and was pleasant to the eyes and to be desired to make one wise. Oh, now it's something to be craved. Hey, look, it's not just food. Look, let's crave the wisdom that we've been lusting after apart from the initiations and apart from the provisions that God has established for us. Let's crave beyond what God has given. Lust pattern. Lust pattern. Young people, let's crave relationships that are illicit. Let's crave physical relationships. Why? Beyond what God has given, because we have this lust pattern. Let's crave the job that so I can be comfortable, so I don't have to be challenged, so that I can pay my bills without worrying too much. You know what? If your life is bill paying, you've got no life. Get into the Word of God. Let God give you a life. Let's crave recognition and fame. Let's crave honor. Let's crave these things. And then we pursue that which can give it to us outside of the Word of God. And she took the fruit thereof and did eat. And then she took somebody else down with her. So you're not going down alone. That's not how warfare works. If you're going to go down in a fall, you're going to take somebody with you. We're not isolated, no matter how isolated we try to become. We're going to take somebody with us. Well, I'm willing to think with the atmosphere, and I'm going to let you know about it. And on the one hand, maybe I'll have conspiracy going. On the other hand, maybe I'll just be nasty. A little bit of evil that's kakos, intrinsic, turning paneros, infectious. I'm going to take somebody with me if I'm going down. And so are you. You don't have the option. That's how warfare works. You know what happened after she ate of the tree of life? Started walking in sight and self-consciousness. Number three strategy of Satan. Make them self-conscious. Make it all about me. Nothing about anybody else. Nobody else. I mean, they are there in my life. They are the details of my life. They are the things I have to deal with. But it's really all about me. How does it make me feel? How well do I like it? Do I agree with it? I think it's so hysterical. Christians have to agree all the time. Nowhere in the Bible does it say you have to agree. I don't care if you agree. You ever hear that? Christians are so worried whether they agree. You know why? Because they've already been hit by the enemy and they're being taken in the warfare. Well, I agree. You ever talk to somebody and it's more like a negotiation than a relationship or a friendship? Assume you all understand where we are here. Let's negotiate our positions and so we all can get along. Why don't you just love one another as God has loved you? And then you won't have to negotiate anything. Why don't you just lay down your life for the brethren? And then you don't have to negotiate anything. You're dead. There's a lot of negotiation. You ever negotiate with a corpse? But there's it's one of those churches with the graveyard behind them. Let's go over there and open up the corpse and start negotiating. Do you agree with me about this? Do you agree with me about dunking or sprinkling? How much do you agree? Who cares? You love God? Let's agree on that. Right? Let's agree on that. I don't care if you agree with me or not. It's like that one attack we had then time. Like one guy said, well, I agree with 98% of what they say, and the other 2%, I don't like it. I like your response. When did I ever agree with 98% of what somebody said? That's pretty good. You know why? Warfare. Warfare. They're blind to the warfare. People live in the warfare and the results of the warfare all the time in their practical life, and they are totally clueless. Warfare. Make them self-conscious. It's no longer about Christ, it's about me. It's no longer about what others need as God reveals it to me. It's about me. It's no longer about loving the brethren, loving the body, loving the lost. It's about me. And how I feel about everything. And that becomes my frame of reference. That's what happens when my eyes are opened. And invariably I see that I'm naked. And so what do? I sew myself fig leaves. Another strategy of Satan. Hide under the wrong covering. Oh, make yourself look good. Doesn't have to be real, just make yourself look good. At least nobody else will see you that way. Make sure you look good. Warfare. The word eyes there. The eyes of them were both naked and in, the eyes were naked. They took their glasses off. The eyes of them were both open and they knew they were naked. Eyes, the word ayin in the original language, it's talking about perception that goes into the frame of reference. Perception that becomes frame of reference. And their frame of reference became the fact that they were naked. A self-conscious frame of reference. How do I get out of this? There is only one provision. And I'm sorry if you don't like it. I'm sorry if this upsets anybody. And I'm not talking about anybody here. I'm talking about internet land. I'm sorry if this is a problem for you. I'm sorry if you're offended at it. I'm sorry if it hurts your little old flesh and your little old sensitivities. But God didn't seem to mind too much. John chapter 12. And verse 24, verily, verily, I say unto you, unless a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. Now get this next part. He that loveth his life shall lose it. What did God say? Eat the tree and you die. Satan said, you're not going to die. He that loveth his life will lose it. He that loveth his life will lose it. How do I love my life? Self-preservation at the tree of knowledge of good and evil. He that loves his life will lose it. But there is a provision. He that hateth his life in this world, in other words, who takes no regard for his life in this world, who is not his own frame of reference, who is not a egocentric believer, that person who doesn't listen with egocentric hearing. Did you know a lot of people listen with egocentric hearing? I listen, my filter is me. I listen, my filter is my emotions, my mood, my preferences. egocentric believer with egocentric hearing. Satan's strategy: make him self-conscious. That's what egocentric is, right? Make him self-conscious. He that hated his life in this world shall keep it unto eternal life. They could have kept it had they not pursued a lust pattern that the enemy had worked on and offered them something through a lie and said God's word, God's promise, God's faithfulness, God's character, God's everything is not true. And so they believed the lie because they listened to the lie. Faith comes by hearing. You listen to the lie, you believe the lie. That's not just hearing a person. That was hearing Satan talk. You believe the projections you are willing to listen to and entertain. You believe the whispers that you are willing to meditate on, and they become your frame of reference. And it's a lie. And all of a sudden, the wrong frame of reference is the lie. Is my frame of the lie is my frame of reference. All of a sudden, the lie is my source of evaluation. It was gotten from a whisper in the ear, and I believed. That's why it says, "Cast down every imagination and high thing." Don't just put it down gingerly. That word there is hurl it away from you. Pick it up and violently throw it. That's what it's talking about. It's not a little shrug or a little dust it off of you. It's pick it up and violently hurl it away from you. Cast it down. Why? Because it came from the enemy of your soul. Hurl it away from you. And it may have something to do with other things than just you, but it's still the lie. It may be an attack against somebody. It may be negativity towards your circumstances. Anything it may be. If it is not an imagination that exalts God, hurl it away from you. With violent force. None of this egocentric hearing stuff. Having tea and crumpets with Satan. You think I'm kidding? That's exactly what it's like. If any man serve me, let him follow me. Where did he go? You mean walk around behind you, Jesus? Now, any man, not given just in time orientation to a short period. If any man serve me, let him follow me. Where did he go? He went through the cross. If any man serves God, let him follow him through the cross. Why? Because that's where his life will be found, in a resurrection life. Apart from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, eating at the tree of life through the cross. You see, I can't eat at the tree of life if I'm eating in a self-conscious orientation table. Self-centered, self-conscious, egocentric orientation. I can't eat of the tree of life there. My consciousness needs to be God consciousness in me, produced through the Word of God and the Holy Spirit ministering that Word. And sometimes it takes time. Yes, people do grow, and this is not talking about growth. I'm not negating growth. Everybody needs time to grow. If any man serve me, let him follow me. Where I am, there shall my servant be. Christ went to the cross. How many servants can say they're at the cross? Christ rose again. How many servants can say they have resurrection life? Are they servants? I'm not saying they're not saved, but are they servants? Not to condemn, to define. Are they servants? If not, then I need to adjust the way that I think. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. That simple. That simple. You know what happens? Satan, one of his major strategies is to keep us from the cross. Matthew chapter 16. Satan's major strategy is to keep us from the cross. Why? Because if we are away from the cross, then we are living in an egocentric frame of reference and a self-orientation mindset that produces death for the one who possesses it. We're living in death. From that time forth, in verse 21, Jesus began to show unto his disciples how that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things. I'm going to skip over to verse 22. Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, "Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not happen to you. Be it far from you that you should go to the cross." Isn't that exactly what Satan says to us? Isn't that what the world says to us? Be it far from, isn't that what our flesh says to us? Be it far from you that you should take your thinking to the cross, that you should take your mentality to the cross, your frame of reference to the cross. Be it far from you that you should have a cross living in your heart. You got to, hey, it's about number one, take care of yourself. Be it far from you. And Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, "Be it far from thee, this shall not happen unto thee." But he turned and said unto Peter, "Get thee behind me, Satan, you're an offense to me." You're offensive as you turn away the cross. You're an offense to me, for thou savorest not the things of God, but those things that are of men. You don't desire the things of God. You don't love the things of God, Satan. You love the things of men. You love the things of the world. You want your precious little knowledge so that you're going to go against the definition given to you by God. You're an offense to me. That's what he said. You know, Jesus didn't go mamsy-pamsy about this. So many believers get upset when Jesus isn't just so gentle and kind. You know what? He went to the cross for you. How gentle and kind was that? They get sentimental to their own flesh, and Satan uses it. They give place to the devil. That's how they do it. They get sentimental toward their own flesh. And eventually, he takes over their entire thinking, over their entire mindset, over their entire structure of evaluation. Their entire processes of analysis are taken through the flesh, and it's Satan who's behind it. Oh, I'll never get rid of my flesh, I just don't have to live in it. I can live at the tree of life, I can have the life of God in me, but if He will not share my life with my flesh, Satan says, preserve your flesh. Whatever you do, you can be a believer if you like, you can go to church 7 times a week if you like. Make sure you preserve your flesh. Because after all, it's about you. Even going to church is about you, so that you can be a good Christian. So you can be a good boy before God or a good girl before God. No. Not at all. You're already eaten at the tree of knowledge. It's about the life of God and preserving that life of God. Romans 5:14a in closing. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses. What does that mean? Well, in 1 Corinthians 5:22, the Word of God says, "For as in Adam all die." You see, if I'm living in the flesh, whether it's be through my old sin nature, or through my natural reasoning, or through sight, or through the tree of knowledge of good and evil, I'm living in death. But Christ was the end of the law. See, even so in Christ, in 1 Corinthians 15, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. watch the warfare. People are asleep to the warfare. Watch the warfare. Cast down those imaginations and high things that exalt themselves against the knowledge of Christ, against the doctrines of Christ, against the finished work application toward yourself or anybody else, against truth, against mercy, against the love of God, against grace, against holiness and righteousness, against purity. Cast them down. Hurl them away. You see, you have an adversary, and he is talking into your ear, and if you are listening, you will start believing. And that's when you get in trouble. The trouble isn't that you have the adversary. The trouble is that you've listened to him. You've listened. Next time a projection comes, next time negativity comes, you may not even recognize it as a projection. You know how you can tell if it's a projection? It's very simple. It goes against Philippians 4:8. That's it. It goes against Philippians 4:8. It's not the truth of God, the finished work, mercy and grace of God. It's not honest according to God's word. It's not just with God's justice, the blood of the Lamb. It's not pure and uncorrupt. It's not lovely, the nature and character of faith being building God's character in us and God's reflection in us. It's not of virtue. It's not of God's character. It's not of God's essence and integrity. It's not of praise. It's a projection. Cast it down. There's your imagination and high thing. It's not one of those. Hurl it away from you. You're listening to that? You're listening to the demons. Learn spiritual warfare. Be a good soldier, as Paul told Timothy, be a good soldier. Learn spiritual warfare. And stand firm against the enemy. And the Word of God is appropriated by the Holy Spirit so that you have a sword and a shield. It's that simple. Amen. You know?